And welcome to the Comic Industry Insiders, where our goal is to get to know the people behind the scenes in the comic industry and uncover the secrets that will help you understand and grow your own business or career in comics. My name is Adam Freeman, and yes, I do spell it that way, of Prana Direct Market Solutions. Our guest is Mark Bowker. Mark founded Alter Ego Comics in 2003 and operates out of a 136-year-old building that he and his wife own on Main Street in downtown Lima, Ohio. Mark is on the board of directors for Comics Pro, the premier trade organization for comic book retailers worldwide. And if that wasn't enough, Mark is a certified personal development coach with the social training platform Heroic. He gave us insight into Batman driving the sales into comic shops, understanding the new normal of sales, and the challenges of how people are prioritizing their purchases. He also had some sharp advice for both Marvel and DC. So now, Mark Bowker.
So Mark, hey buddy, how are you?
Hey Adam, thanks for inviting me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. You and I have known each other now for, decades easily. And I think it really comes from how tightly knit the network of comics retailers are online that we were able to do that. Even though, you know, we've only ever been in the room together probably like 5 or 6 times, I would imagine. So let's jump right into the questions because I wanted to keep this pretty tight for your time. What is the name of your business and why?
Well, you already told people the name of my business, so I'll reiterate that my business is Alter Ego Comics, and as to why, so this is our 21st year in operation, and I'm sure you remember the days of the telephone book and choosing names and wanting to show up at the beginning of the alphabet, at the beginning of the listings, and really in Lima, this was something I should not have been worried about because there was one comic book store when we opened and they closed about 6 months after we opened it. We've been the only comic book store in Lima for 20 years, approximately. So the phone book thing of wanting to be at the top of the directories with a name that starts with A, it's pretty irrelevant right now. But I wanted something that expressed the fact that we were a comic shop and Alter Ego, of course, being thrown around for, you know, Clark Kent and Superman and Bruce Wayne and Batman and Diana Prince and Wonder Woman and all that fun stuff. So that was how we chose the name Alter Ego Comics.
You don't have to reveal it here if the answer is yes, but do you have an alter ego, Mark?
I do not. However, our logo, we refer to our logo as Walter Ego.
At least
I actually like have... Him. Wait, I have to look real quick. Here we go. Someone made us a custom Alter Ego Funko Pop for our 15th anniversary.
Nice. So awesome. That's wonderful. Okay, excellent. How was business in 2023? It was quite a year, huh?
How was business in 2023? It was quite a year. And, you know, having been in business for now 21 years, we've been through ups and downs, and there are cycles with most things, including the comic book industry. So 2023 was not an awesome year, but it was not a horrible year either. And what I did during all of 2023 and also 2022, I was always looking at data for the previous year, but also from 2019, because really 2019 was the last normal year for not only the comic book industry, but for retail in general. So we were down, 2023 was down versus 2022, but it was up versus 2019. So, you know, I things are headed in the right direction, and hopefully 2024 is a bounce back year for the industry.
Do you think we're just going to see a little asterisk on 2020, 2021, 2022 from now on? I mean, that's how we're going to start thinking about those years. Is they're anomalous, no matter up or down, right?
Yeah, I think people have to admit that. And it also needs those factors need to be taken into consideration because we're not going to get accurate data. Using those 2 years, comparing against anything, is going to make it look like everything's horrible. So, you know, 2020, 2021, and even 2022, those were like the roaring 20s.
That's very true. That's very true. So you talked a lot about the contributing factors to the changes that you saw. Can you kind of dig into that? What are those contributing factors to the biggest changes? I mean, other than obviously there's no pandemic, but.
Sure. I mean, so the biggest factors impacting the comic book industry for 2023, I mean, we're still dealing with the fracturing of the distribution system, you know, adding in additional distributors, Lunar and Penguin Random House. And what else? You know, people going on vacation again, people going out to dinner more frequently, people choosing experiences over stuff now that we can all have experiences again. Those have definitely, again, I can only speak to what's happening in my shop and in my neck of the woods, but I do think that these are universal, that we're seeing people, you know, in 2020, 2021, and even into 2022, there was an emphasis on stuff because we couldn't do anything else. So it was reading, entertainment, collect, falling in love with things that, you know, you loved when you were a teenager or a younger person. Nostalgia was in full swing during the COVID years. And yeah, so this is just the righting of the ship, I think. 2023 was a course correction year. And that also affects the publishers. You know, the publishers had to shift from maybe an influx of capital during 2020, 2021, 2022. And that maybe dried up a little bit. And then, you know, for me as a retailer, I noticed probably in mid 2022 that people were starting to pump the brakes on their spending. And I had to adjust my orders accordingly. So that, of course, is going to impact publishers. It's going to impact distributors. So those are kind of the big things. We have a glut of product. This is nothing new, though. I've been beating the drum for a long time that both Marvel and DC specifically could cut 50% of their output and see sales increase because they would have fewer titles that were on the stands and you would have completists and people that would be able to follow more of those titles, maybe spending money on those things. So I think 2024 is going to be the year that publishers maybe tighten their belts a little bit, maybe get their houses in order, and hopefully, you know, that results in a boom year for the industry.
Yeah, I mean, from your mouth to the retail god's ears, right? If you don't mind, I'd love to dig into that, what you just said, just a little bit. So that sort of fracturing of distribution and people choosing experiences over stuff, right? How are you positioning Alter Ego to deal with that now? Is this a short term issue or is this something you're being dealing with long term? And if so, like how are you thinking about that?
I mean, you have to be nimble in this game. You know, you have to be able to pivot. You have to be able to look at the data. And I think that a lot of comic book retailers still aren't looking at data. They're relying on their gut. They're relying on their memory and not necessarily looking at the hard numbers. And if you look at the numbers, you know, that will be your guide as to, you know, what you should be ordering. And every shop has to make these decisions on their own. I've made the decision that we don't rack shelf copies of most comics after issue 4 or 5, because I know we're selling X number of copies by the time a book gets to issue 4 or 5. Now, the exception would be a miniseries where I'm going to have copies of that miniseries, if it's selling well, on the shelf until it's over. But, you know, people might think I'm crazy. I don't rack extra copies of Amazing Spider-Man. I consistently sell, for a long time, would consistently sell the same number of Amazing Spider-Man. And every leftover copy on the shelf is lost money, you know, that I'm having to blow out, you know, either marking things down or, you know, having a big sale during Free Comic Book Day or what have you. So every shop owner needs to figure out the best solution for their businesses. And for us, and I know it's not just us because I've heard this from many other retailers, shelf copies are becoming a thing of the past, you know, beyond a certain point in the series, because it's too much of a gamble.
Sure. I'm really interested in that because I do see, I've seen that on the publishing side. I don't want to dig too deep into this. We can get as granular as you want. However, I've seen that a little bit on the publishing side, but I've also seen the other direction, which is long-term series very often on the larger, more aggregate scale, tend to turn around issue 8 or 9, right? There seems to be like this increase. And I'm always curious about, you know, how retailers deal with that as a growth opportunity, but also, I mean, but you have to still, you know, mitigate your downsides. Like it's a fascinating problem that I don't think anybody really has a solid answer for.
Yeah. I mean, the other contributing factor, and again, I'm talking specifically about Marvel and DC at this point, is the constant renumbering, you know, the constant start, stop, start, stop, start, stop. You don't go looking into back issue bins and like nobody's paying attention to the legacy numbering on a lot of these books. They see how many different Amazing Spider-Man number 6, and it's just confusion. It's confusion. It's creating confusion for new readers. So kind of to backtrack a minute. So if I'm not racking extra copies of Amazing Spider-Man, I'm still going to have a starting point for somebody with a Spider-Man title available on the stands because right. They continue to come out on a regular basis. So even though I may not have the most recent issue of Amazing Spider-Man, I'm going to have the most recent issue of Spider-Boy or Spider-Man or Miles Morales or, you know, whatever, so that somebody can jump into Spider-Man. Or the reality is that new readers coming into shops prefer graphic novels. So, you know, I can point them to our top 5 Spider-Man graphic novels and they can jump in there and then they can decide the format that they prefer, whether it's single issues or graphic novels. But, you know, my data in my shop and in conversation with other retailers, new readers, which are the, you know, the future of this industry, prefer graphic novels.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Well, that dovetails nicely into our next question, which, what was your best-selling item or title of last year?
So our best-selling Batman is our best-selling monthly series. And it's right. Also our best-selling brand, if you will, best-selling character. So our top 3 brands are Batman, Star Wars, and Spider-Man in that order. But as far as single issues, yes, Batman, you know, we sold the most single issues of the main Batman series. Okay. Now, there were some other things that that popped up, things like, Dark Knights of Steel, like miniseries, even though they were, I think that was a 12-issue series, but they didn't all fall within the same calendar year or something like that. So we did have some strong miniseries that were selling. And then as far as graphic novels, our best-selling graphic novel of the last 12 months is Godzilla versus Power Rangers. So, we actually have a dedicated boutique section to our best-selling graphic novels, and we look at the trailing 12 months.
Yeah.
So we've got an interesting mix up there, and it's really great. A lot of people that are new to the shop will just point them towards the best-selling graphic novels because there's a variety of things in there, a variety of genres. We even have God Is Disappointed in You by Mark Russell, which is a prose book with illustrations by, and I'm drawing a blank, it's Shannon, I don't know. It's published by IDW, but it's a book that we put it out and it's got a funny drawing of like a giant hand flicking somebody like Moses. And I've sold it to Christians and non-Christians alike. And, you know, it depends on what your center is, how you interpret it, but it's just funny. It's a humorous look at Christianity and it's in our top sellers. Now I'm in Ohio.
Shannon Wheeler. Shannon Wheeler. I looked it up. Shannon Wheeler, from Too Much Coffee Man fame.
Yes.
So yes, I could see. I can see how you. I can actually see that image now that that you say it's Shannon Wheeler. I can.
If you've never checked it out, I highly recommend it.
I'll look. I'll look into it. That's awesome. Excellent. Great. That leads us to, you know, basically our last question, but you know, I can keep going as long as you're interested. What gives you hope for the comics industry in 2024?
What gives
you have any? You may not have any. I don't know why. I assume you must have some hope, but I mean, you're still at it, you know.
What gives me hope for the comic book industry in 2024? Well, first off, hope is essential in what we do. A belief in that the future is going to be better than where we are right now, that we have the ability to get to that future, and that there are multiple pathways to get there, because pathway A, B, C, D, E may not work, but it may be pathway F that gets us to the future that we want. So hope is I'm big on hope. And I hope that other retailers and publishing partners and distributors are big on it too, because it's going to take some work, you know, for the industry to kind of right the ship. I'm using this sea sailing analogy that, like it or not, Marvel and DC are the anchors of the comic book industry. And for 2023, both of those big ships were kind of drifting. Now, if one of them can get back on course, that's going to raise the boats. If they both get back on course, excuse me, you know, that's going to be a huge win for everybody. So, but let's talk about not just Marvel and DC. Let me go back there for a second. You know, people are kind of bashing the storytelling at the big two, or saying that, you know, maybe the stories aren't as good as they used to be. And that you can't use absolutes when you're talking about the comic book industry. There are fantastic stories being told right now at Marvel and DC. You know, Tom King on Wonder Woman, J. Michael Straczynski on Captain America, just to name two. But there are several that people are excited about. There's a lot that people aren't excited about, and I think that's an indicator that they should pay attention to, that the publisher should pay attention to. Talking about other publishers, you know, there are some fantastic stories being told. Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees by IDW. The Devil That Wears My Face by Mad Kid. I think it's Mad Kid. you know, there are things that I'm personally enjoying and that I'm introducing my customers to and taking a chance on. I'm excited about Ghost Machine. You know, I'm excited about what Jeff Johns and his band of merry men and women have in store for us. And it almost feels like an Image 3.0. You know, where, you know, Image 1.0 was the initial exodus of the artists from Marvel. Image 2.0 was, you know, publishing material by Brian K. Vaughan and Robert Kirkman and some other folks, Rick Remender. And now Image 3.0 is this new sub imprint. You know, not only Ghost Machine, but what Skybound is doing with the Energon universe. You know, the excitement around Transformers and Duke and Cobra Commander. I mean, our sales have increased substantially on those properties compared to where they were before. And, you know, why is that? Because there was a concerted effort from everyone involved to not reveal everything to everybody ahead of time, B, have a plan for how we're going to roll these things out, where there's one book, you know, three books a month, but they're not all on the same week. You know, you can pick up Void Rivals, Transformers, Duke, and Cobra Commander a different week of every month. That's, as a retailer, and you know this as a former retailer, giving people a reason to come into my shop every week. You know, thank you, Skybound, for doing it right, for giving people a reason to come into the shop. So that gives me hope. I mean, there are stories that people are excited about. Oh, Ultimate Spider-Man. You know, looking at a couple of things that Marvel's done recently, Ultimate Spider-Man exceeded everyone's expectations, not only on a sales standpoint, but from a storytelling standpoint. Avengers Twilight is another one that people are excited about. It's almost like a Dark Knight Returns for Marvel. I think what Jason Aaron is doing with his little mini run on Action Comics has people fired up. You know, we've seen sales increase on that. So if you love comics, if you've chosen a life that is in within the comic book industry, you have to find something to be excited about, because your customers are going to pick up on that. You know, if you're complaining at the register, if you're not hand selling things, if you're not raving and saying, hey, you got to check this out, then maybe it's time for you to retire. You know, maybe it's time for you to look at something new, because I'm sure if it's still in you, if you still have that passion for comics, you will find something to get excited about and be hopeful about.
Awesome. That's really wonderful. One more question that your answer spawned, and then I think I can let you go and do what you obviously do well, which is passionately talk about these books. You had a lot of conversation there about what publishers can do to make things better in the course of the next year. What is the number one thing you think retailers can do to make things better in the coming year?
What is the number one thing that retailers can do to make the industry / things better?
Sure. Yeah. Make our industry stronger, make our businesses stronger, make, you know, what is that? What is the major thing? And you know, don't limit yourself to one. You know, if you pop off three or four, I'm not going to stop you.
So I'm going to lean into Comics Pro. You know, I think that every shop should be a member of Comics Pro. And, you know, full disclosure, I'm on the board of Comics Pro. I've been a member of Comics Pro since almost the beginning. And the work that the board and the members of Comics Pro are doing for the larger benefit of the industry is substantial now. Like, it's more substantial than at any other time that I've been involved with the organization, from working on metadata, what Katie Pride at Books with Pictures is doing, along with getting every publisher and every distributor and every POS system manufacturer to the table to talk about streamlining metadata and making sure that we're all able to, you know, run our stores the way we need to by having accurate data. I mean, that is a huge thing that is going to benefit the entire industry, all 2,500 stores or however many there are. And for that reason alone, people should join Comics Pro. But the positivity in Comics Pro outweighs the negativity that exists in the larger retailer space. There's a lot of complaining going on. And again, I think the members of Comics Pro, and especially the board, we love being comic book retailers, and we're filled with hope. We see a brighter future available. So, you know, there's that. There are other projects that Comics Pro is working on, and I'm actually chairing the subcommittee on Local Comic Shop Day and hoping to get that, you know, inject some adrenaline and some life into that event and figuring out, what do retailers want? You know, do you want this event? Do you want to combine it with National Comic Book Day, which is on September 25th, also known as my birthday? So, you know, I think that that makes perfect sense. You know, and we've got Free Comic Book Day. And from what I've heard from a lot of people, Free Comic Book Day is not what it once was. So how do we work together as retailers and focus on, like, what are our top five things that we want to address with publishers, with distributors, and that we can work on together to raise awareness about comics in our stores, but also bring the fun back, bring the excitement. You know, one thing that I have heard used a couple of times, and I know Phil Boyle mentioned it, you know, parking lot comics, the comic that you buy and you can't wait to read it until you get home, so you read it in the parking lot. And I think we've got a couple of those now. I think we've got a couple going, and hopefully that's like kindling for a bigger spark and a larger fire of parking lot comics. My analogies are kind of running together, or metaphors or whatever, and now we're burning comics in the parking lot. I don't know what's happening.
I don't know we need to burn them. Maybe not. I mean, you know, if that's what helps, maybe. I don't think we need to be advocating for that.
Yeah, the bottom line, Adam, and you know, you've probably heard this working for publishers, there just always needs to be communication with every link in the chain. You know, when it's a top-down sort of thing, it's not going to work. If it's a bottom-up sort of thing, it's not going to work. We have to have that communication. And right now, the only place to get everybody in the same room is the Comics Pro annual meeting. And I know this is turning into a commercial for Comics Pro, but like Lunar will be there, Diamond will be there, Penguin Random House will be there. All three distributors are going to be at this meeting. There is no other conference, no other meeting where all three distributors are going to be in the same room. So, you know, this is a great opportunity. Hopefully, you know, coming out of this meeting in late February, you know, we've got some positivity. We've got some enthusiasm that will impact the entire industry. And the other thing is we need to understand that everyone is entitled to their opinion and they may be wrong. You know, that, you know, sure. A lot of times we get distracted by the talking heads. We get distracted by, you know, whoever, John Smith, Jane Smith, complaining about a certain character not being the same or this, that, or the other thing. Everybody has a voice now. And, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but we need to focus on, you know, what we can control within our shops, you know, within our four walls, and find things, as I said earlier, to be excited about, because there's a lot. I mean, we're talking about an industry that is almost 100 years old. There's a lot of great content that we can connect people with that they may not be familiar with. And there's new stuff coming out every week.
Mark, thank you so much, buddy. I really do appreciate it. And we've even gone a little bit long, and I probably should have expected that. So thank you so much for taking the time.
I talk a lot. That's what it is. I take full responsibility for the length of this interview.
Not at all, man. I knew you were going to give me, I knew that you were going to give me really great stuff. I know how deeply you think about this industry and how intently you are at running your shop in both a profitable and healthy way. So I knew you were going to be great for this, and you did not disappoint. So thank you, buddy. And what is going on with this shirt?
This is my, I'm a huge Roosevelt's fan. I don't know if you're familiar with Roosevelt's. Okay. It's RSVLTS.com again.
Oh, yes.
Not a paid plug, but I must have like 15 of these shirts because I love button down shirts. It brings a little bit of professionalism to what I do. I'm not wearing t-shirts all the time. Yeah. And they're comfortable. And so I've got, you know, DC ones, Marvel ones, Indiana Jones ones to go with my Indiana Jones obsession, Star Wars. I have a Finding Nemo one, which is super cool. So, yeah, if you want
to clock
cool
that, the number of guys I see at conventions, like you see them on day one with a Results shirt on, a Roosevelt's, I don't know how you pronounce it. And you see them with day one, and they always have like one for day two and day three and day four. You go like, yeah, they definitely have dialed that in. That's impressive. So, anyway. Thank you, Mark. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Adam. My pleasure.
Thanks again for coming on the show, Mark. Now, once again, our goal here at CII is to bring you the secrets and tactics that will grow your business. And man, did Mark bring some gems. He mentioned that everyone is beginning to value experiences over stuff. Now, while that's true, I would also argue that anyone who shops at an LCS has been doing that for years. The experience of going to the comic shop every week should be the highlight of your week. And we, all of us, publishers and retailers alike, should be working towards a product and community that drive that. Now, Mark mentioned relying on data. If your comic shop isn't using a POS system, please, I beg you, look into systems like Comic Hub, Manage Comics, and the new Comic Shop Assistant. Good data is the lifeline of your business. And it also allows you to curate the glut of product that Mark mentions. And good data isn't just for retailers. Publishers should be demanding their account data from distributors and making decisions based on those metrics, and not just the confusing feedback from retailers and fans. Mark is on the board of directors of Comics Pro, a trade organization built especially for comic shops. Running a comic shop alone can be isolating and overwhelming. Joining together with groups like Comics Pro can help build community around your business, and we all need more of that. It also gives voice to the chorus of retailers out there that feel isolated and alone. Now, finally, he talked about getting excited. These stories we sell are designed to excite and delight your customers and fans. Now, if we don't start from a place of excitement and wonder, how can we ever hope to communicate that to them? I do hope you enjoyed this episode of Comics Industry Insiders. While this is the first episode we recorded, which you can tell by my meager interviewing skills. By the time you see it, we have already a big list of amazing, talented, experienced pros who are ready to share what they've learned with you. And we can't wait to help you hear them. Namaste, y'all.